number two, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game here on this Thursday. We're live at the Omni Nashville Hotel at Bar Lines. He's Big Joe. I'm Chase McCabe. Dr. Crane, Nick Frazier, back at the studio. And, Joe, we're excited about our next guest that's going to be with us for the hour. You just like to bring in old coworkers, so that's that's what we've done.
It works well. I love this guy so much that I put him in my book because he means that much to me. He got great advice when I started out. Neil Orn. Neil, good to see you, Bubba.
Joe, Chase, good to be here. How did you get your name first in the open?
I don't know. The boss, and I put it together.
Really, I don't lie.
I understand it. I know Joe.
I like me.
I know.
All right. Push me aside.
Second question. Three Emmys?
Yes, sir.
I thought it was much more than that. I really did.
21 nominations.
What happened? 21 nominations.
21 nominations.
You were there as the Cinderella story every single
I lost
year.
The
18
first,
years.
I lost the first 11.
Right.
And it was like, oh, that became the joke was, Susan Lucci. And I actually wish I'd have lost 24 now. It'd been great.
The joke is when you actually judge those things and you see what goes into the judging, right? It's like free. Hey, anyone want free pizza? Come judge the Emmys.
That was exactly it.
And no one's paying attention to anything is going. Like, oh, that looked cool. Okay, give them an Emmy. Give them. So
always roll back. Let me see that girl again. Oh, okay. I mean, that's the way it was. It's like,
but
man,
sure enough, they come up later in life, and you're like, yeah, I won three Emmys. I won three too, Joe. I won a Murrow too. So how about that?
Do you have three Emmys?
I have three Emmys, yeah. And I actually, as a joke, I put them on a shelf behind me when I do social media because every TV person has to have their Emmys behind them.
Yeah,
they do. Yeah, so it's a little quiet joke between me and Carrie.
I've got three Murrows as well, and it's funny is that people don't care about those.
No.
Us TV people do. It's like,
oh, yeah, Murrow's higher than Emmy, right?
Because it's really good.
Yeah,
but you tell people you've got an Emmy, like, oh, that's awesome, and you'll show it off. They're like, oh, my God. I'm like, if you really knew, it's not that important. But look, you got nominated, and you win, and that's the honor.
Yeah, why is your name taped on to the Emmy?
Yes. We have a mutual friend who they were up for an Emmy. They didn't put their name in because they don't want to pay the money. That won an Emmy, and this person actually paid money to have her name put on the Emmy. Oh, I gave it up her.
I know who you're talking about.
She never worked with us at Channel 2. It was another station. So
okay.
I just
understood.
Found it kind of funny.
Understood.
Yes.
So congratulations on writing a book, right?
Yeah. Look, this is about you. This isn't about us.
Well, I'm in your book. I'm getting to me.
Well, the thing was,
This is a way of circling back to me.
Well, when I first started the Big Joe, you had a major help in the Big Joe on the Go segments. You had a major hand in all that.
Because to me, it was one of the best parts of the show, and so I wanted it in there. And, you know, it never turned out to be exactly what we wanted, right? Because we were looking for something like the Nashville show. Like, we were looking for something like Ralph Emery, right?
Yeah.
And we wanted to go, because you and I are old school in that way, right?
That's right.
We think when you wake up, you have to have every emotion exercised immediately. You got to laugh, but you got to be serious.
Yeah.
And no one understood us in that way.
Consultants did not like that.
But you grabbed that mantra, you grabbed that position and actually ran with it. And to this day, you're Big Joe on the go.
Well, you're always
a lot
like,
of people,
this
so.
Guy's always on the go.
You and Turco are the two people that I remember from back in those days.
And when I started the segment, I would get this email from this guy who would just destroy me. Like, you're terrible. You're
bad.
I don't know. And I went to you, and I'm like, Neil, this guy's bothering me, and it shouldn't bother me. And your advice to me was, keep showing up.
That's right.
Keep showing up, because in a couple weeks, he'll know those emails will fall on deaf ears, and you're still on TV.
That's right.
And then after about 2 weeks, never heard from the guy.
That same guy still emails me every day.
And I think the guy that did it was Neil.
Neil. So when did you start at Channel 2?
96.
96.
I think it was Halloween, which is like perfect for me, right?
And
wow.
We started on Halloween. Like I told you before we came on, like I remember when you did the weather.
That's
like the weekend weather guy.
I was weekend weather and reporting 3 days a week when I first got here. So, yeah, and I got out of weather because I was too accurate and I was making everyone else look bad.
Yeah, okay.
So they were like, you should do news. You really should do news. I did that for several years, actually. It's kind of fun. I liked it. I'm not a meteorologist. I got everything except the S&T, so I'm a meteorology, right? Because I went to Mississippi State. I did that course that everyone does, right?
Yeah.
And I was 2 credits away from finishing up and getting my meteorology broadcast meteorology degree, and they asked me to go to news with Victoria, and I was like, "Yo, I'm in."
So you were 20% accurate, so you were good.
I was. I still am. I still. Carrie calls me up last night. She's like, "We're getting a snowstorm, and come on over." And I made chili, and we got all. I never even looked at the forecast, and I wake up this morning, and like the sun is coming through the curtains. I'm like, "Wow, that's like quite a snowstorm we got there." But no, it was doing weather was fun, man. I love that.
I'm being honest. Had you stayed in weather, you'd have been on Good Morning America. I think you were. I watched you. You were that engaging, that fun. Had everything that made you a national guy on GMA.
You're funny. You're
I'm
kind.
Telling you.
You're
I think kind. You would Thank have. You. And we all know this.
You're very kind. You're very kind. Thank you. You know what? That's like the ultimate compliment right there.
No, you would have. I'm telling you.
I appreciate that.
I think the worst thing that ever happened to you was the fact that you did the morning show and then came back and did the afternoon.
Oh, the split shift. Yeah. That was
I think I remember that,
too. It sounded so good at the time.
Right?
It was like, yeah, like, oh, of course, I'll come in. I'll wake up at 1:30 in the morning. I'll do 3 hours on air. I'll go home. I'll nap all day. I'll come back at 4 o'clock and do another hour.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was tough.
Yeah, that probably didn't work well.
That didn't work so well. So.
Well, so what was funny is, you know, you talk about you and Victoria doing the mornings. Like,
you remember that. You were getting, I watched you were it all getting time. Ready for school.
Yeah, so I was getting ready for school.
That's right.
And my dad was a news junkie, which it made me a news junkie. So, like, it was he'd watch you guys in the morning and then, like, 4 in the afternoon and 5 at night. Like, he was bouncing all over. But – I'd be getting ready for school, and it was you and Victoria, and then this doofus started doing Big Joe on the go, which I was immediately drawn to him because he was goofy, I guess.
So
that's you're welcome.
Fine.
Yeah.
And he was real. He was himself.
Lilla Marigza.
Lilla Marigza. Yeah. That's right. Yeah, Lilla was pretty great. She was
I had
our morning
a crush on her.
Yeah, so. A lot of people did. Joe, I remember your lead to every question was, so I got to ask you. Do you remember that?
No.
That's how you led into your question.
Did I really? So I got to ask you?
Because
I don't want to say talk about.
He still does.
I don't mean it as a critique. I mean it as a
That's
compliment.
Fine. That's fine.
No, it's you're basically opening up the discussion. So I got to ask you, what is the one moment I was going to bring up between you and I at Channel 2, which turned out to be one of the funniest moments on TV for both of us, and you knew it was going to come up this hour?
Yeah. So there was a guy that – they had a replica of the Santa Pinta, Nina Maria,
whatever the Columbus ships,
right? And they were traveling.
That was a P, right?
Right? The and they were coming up the Cumberland River to the Mississippi. And so remember Channel 2 was on satellite. So we were on satellite to all of South America. So that's why everybody knew. Like, we were big time.
We would get emails from people that said, I'm having coffee on the back of my boat down in the Bahamas.
Yes.
And we
everywhere.
It floored us. Right?
Yeah. One time, I did an interview with Brad Paisley one time. He's like, hey, I know you.
Right.
I saw you when I was in the Caribbean. I'm like, what?
Yep.
I don't even know who I am.
I was in an airport in Florida, and some guy said, I watch you every morning. And I was like, oh, you're from Nashville. And he's like, no, I live down here. I'm like, what?
We were
on those. The days where, like, you get random local channels on DirecTV or whatever? Or?
Something.
Yeah.
Along those lines.
So they had to put an ABC local feed up somewhere. So they just randomly chose Nashville because we weren't a competitive market at that point, but we were a big enough market where we were doing the news. And they would just put us there as kind of a filler for every morning.
Right.
So we ended up doing that for many, many years there. So it's interesting. You get a caller from West Tennessee, right? That's normal now. This was not normal.
It was not normal at all.
We were in a very – so when we had, like, the tornadoes in 98, right, stuff like that, we were broadcast nationally. You know, everyone picked – like, CNN immediately picked us up and put us on nationally for 18 hours straight. We were on the air doing that
stuff. That's exactly right.
That's crazy.
So the guy that owned these ships was in the Bahamas. He had a big, huge boat and house in the Bahamas. And then so, I mean, it was exact replicas of redundant. It was a replica of all these ships. And I taught. He's like, "Yeah, go up there in the morning. We'll have guys being there for you, ready to go." Well, what he didn't tell me was the night before, the entire crew went out and got smashed, hammered. So I'm there knocking, and nobody. And finally, one guy wakes up, and he has no idea where he is. He's like, "Man, I can't do TV." I said, "You're doing TV. Put a shirt on. Let's go."
Oh, no.
And I grabbed him, come out there. And he had no. I said, "This is pretty cool being on the ship." And he's like. Yeah, I mean,
I'm going to pause you right there because I want to pick up the story from the studio. So we're panicking. Like, Joe's like, I'm not going to have anything. I'm not going to have anything. And so finally, the producer gets my ear and goes, Joe found someone to interview. He'll be right up. All right, so we're waiting at the thing, and we're like, all right, there's a Nina Pinta Santa Marina replicas in town. There's, families are welcome to go out there and see it. It's 111. And we said, let's go to Big Joe on the go. He's down there talking with so-and-so from the thing. And the
oh, no.
The picture cuts to Joe and this dude whose hair is sticking straight
he's
up.
He's like 5 foot two.
Literally looks like he just got done licking the floor of a taxi cab. And Joe just starts talking to him right there. And Joe was kind of leading him into this. He's being very gentle. And then I can't remember what I said back to you. Like, Joe, did you just wake this guy up? And
yes.
You and I immediately got it and lost our cookies.
And you guys are laughing, and I'm hearing you guys laughing, and I'm like, this is going nowhere. And it was an absolute disaster. The guy couldn't answer anything, and so I lost it on air. And had we had social media, that thing would have gone absolutely viral.
It would still be
it was
out
that
there to this day. It was.
How did the suits feel about it?
They weren't up yet.
Okay, they didn't care.
They weren't up yet. You couldn't go back and do that.
Yeah.
This is literally a segment that you could not script.
So this is like 6 a.m. or something.
This was like October of 2003.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's and you know that you're laughing hard, and you know every single person that's watching this is also yeah. belly laughing.
I
right
feel like
there.
I remember had, watching this.
It was awful.
We didn't
it was
get
awful.
Text messages or anything like that. We got emails like a couple days later saying I spilled my coffee all over myself because yep. that segment was so hilarious.
But we did get messages on do you remember the Bonnaroo segment I did and the guy cussed on TV?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we just got asked about that.
But
yeah.
It was on TV, and yeah. I pre-interviewed this guy.
Yeah, you can't
We're
do anything
ask
about
you.
That.
Yeah.
You can't do anything
And I
about
said,
that.
I'm going to ask you what the problem is. And I said, what's the problem here? He goes, I'll tell you what the effing problem is. And it went everywhere. I said, we're done with this. And then our assistant news director at the time called me. He's like, you need to offer an apology on air. I said, I'm not doing it at 6:30 because yeah. it happened at 5:30. He goes, why aren't you doing this? I said, because then people will wonder why I'm apologizing.
Right. Yeah,
if you
like
just
it's,
let
it's
it go.
Gone.
Let
yeah.
it go. It's
yeah.
goes. It's bye.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
And
yeah.
you guys were dying in the studio. I'm out there, and all this traffic at Bonnaroo just losing it, just trying to keep a straight face. That was the only time that we had something bad like that.
And then
that.
There were like the 6 or 7 people still dancing in the parking
yeah.
lot while everyone's left the next morning. And we're like, where? These people have no idea the show's ended. And they're still dancing in the middle of an empty parking
Terrible.
Lot.
Terrible.
Right was it the morning show where the chicken ate you or something? Like you were at Greer?
No, that was the afternoon.
No, that was yeah. afternoon.
But we did chase pigs.
We did
yeah,
chase pigs.
Okay. Yeah, this is not about me, though. This is about Neil Warren.
I know, but this is about so Neil Warren. I never get to talk to anyone about these segments, and they were a highlight
yeah,
for
I've
me.
Got
they
the,
were part of my highlight
I've
reel.
Got the Beta SX tapes, the yellow tapes.
Yeah.
So our friend Boyd at Channel 2, I've talked to Boyd about coming over there and trying to get those things dropped down to download to YouTube. So we'll see if that happens or not.
We will have.
There's a service you can send them off to get that done, but we'll talk about that.
But
later.
That's expensive. Boyd's like good for free.
It is. Yeah.
we'll have more with Neil Oren coming up next. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game on this Thursday. Hanging out with Neil Oren, who did local news in this town for a long
Omni
time.
The Omni smells great. Do you notice that when you walk
does.
In the lobby? It's that lemongrass smell, seagrass.
Little leather.
Know, a little leather thrown in there. It's a beautiful smell. I just love it. Yeah.
So I'll ask
you. Can work here if you want.
They're hiring. Well, you know, I filled out an application when I walked in. That's very
there you
funny.
Go.
It's like you asked me to come here. I was like, how crazy is that? I'm going for an interview as a major D. So
welcome.
Crossed your fingers. Wish me luck.
I love it.
Wish me luck.
So
anyway, you were.
What are you doing now? Now that you get to sleep in a little more?
Well, I helped Carrie with her business a little bit there. So
okay.
She has a beautiful aesthetic salon down in WeHo there called K-Beauté.
What do you do there?
I inject. Yeah. I put no, I basically stay out of the way right there. So she's here today because Verizon crashed and her bank shut down her credit cards due to fraud on her account, so she got the free day off.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Or do you take like are you like the guy at the counter? Then when you walk in, you take the appointments and all that?
No, they walk in. I tell them I'm the after picture. Now, now sit down, shut up, and fill out the confirmation. I actually she's on her own right now. I did a little acting, Joe. You know that, right?
I saw that.
Did some acting. I did some triathlons right there. What else have I been doing? You know, just trying to get out of the TV life and into something else.
Right? Will you ever go back?
I don't think so. I don't think
That's not a no.
That's not a no. No, not at all. Actually, I was approached by a station there, and it's like, well, my non-compete's not done until mine's not over till February 1st, so I can't even talk about it.
Okay,
so,
then don't talk.
So
about
after
it.
February 1st, who knows what happens in my life?
It's like Fight Club. There.
It's like Fight Club.
So have you been?
But no, but Nikki and I have our podcast, right? It's called Mouth the News, and we're going to get season 2 going here soon. And then she and I are working on some sort of live show as well that we're going to do on YouTube. And so, got a bunch of stuff just going right now, but nothing really kind of with the full traction. Yeah. So it's
so have
great.
You been gone a year? 2 years?
Yeah. No, I left a year just the day before Thanksgiving, and then I was paid through February 1st. So technically, I was an employee through February 1st.
Gotcha.
So,
okay.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, so it's crazy how fast the year goes. I've been so busy not making money that I wake up and the day it's like the day starts and it's over, and you're like, what happened? What happened? So, yeah, no, it's been terrific. The girls are great. You know, 2 months from now, I have a 16-year-old and a 19-year-old. I got a UT freshman and a driver coming up here. So I've got a lot of gray hairs coming in real fast, kind of like your beard, Chase.
Yeah, look, it's funny. People
For
are
such
like,
a young guy, I mean, that comes in hard.
Well, I always joke. They're like, where did the gray come from? I go, this business. it'll do that.
It's a little grayer on the side next to Joe.
It happens.
But, it's a few shades change right there.
What's your? You know, I got into this because I grew up. Like I said, I grew up watching the news. I mean, I was gonna go and work in market 263, making $2 an hour, and do sports. And I mean, that was my plan. And luckily, I was working at the radio station and had people like Joe, you know, pushing for me, and ended up growing up here and climbing the ladder. But
you had a very traditional entry, right? You start small and you just got to take every little baby steps. It's like, which is totally different than the TV business now, where you get out of college and you're already in a top 30 market, right?
Because the three companies that own TV stations now are like, oh, well, we can pay you $25,000 a year.
Right, because you're still on a parental scholarship for the most of your life, right?
Right.
Your parents are still paying your credit card and rent. So, yeah, come on in and work for us. We're good. We're good. You'll be on TV every day.
And that was kind of I'll never forget. I had a class my freshman year at MTSU with a guy that his story was pretty cool. He had done local news and TV, and he was up for a game show.
Yeah.
And he ended up losing out to host this game show to the weatherman from KNBC in L.A., who also did time in Nashville, and that was Wheel of Fortune.
Wheel of Fortune,
so
right.
Pat Sajak. So he lost it. But he was saying, you guys are going to go through your 4 years here. Some of you are going to get out of here, and you're going to get offered a job in Atlanta making nothing. And you're going to think, that's the fast track.
Yep.
You'll be out in 4 years.
Yep.
So don't do it.
Right.
Go to the small markets and pay your dues and make no money and eat ramen noodles for 2 or 3 years. And then you'll end up in, you know, Nashville or and work your way up. And I just see the quality now, and it just, like, nobody wants to do that anymore.
Well, and it's not just, I mean, not to knock the kids on air, right?
Yeah, but no.
They really work hard. It's
sure.
You're also in a situation where you're TV stations and news organizations are risk averse, right? So they're not really going to go after stories that kind of show things that maybe we're not supposed to see immediately right there, because everyone threatens litigation and everyone's the lawyer bills alone. So I understand why TV stations are risk averse right now. It makes sense because we are a litigation society. But the fact is that I was talking to you about this a minute ago, that when you watch a local news station now, you can take that newscast and plunk it down in any market, and there's so many similarities to it. It's like it's so formulaic. I miss the days of chaos on air, right, where you didn't know what was going to happen, so you watch because Big Joe's going to come on, and he's probably got a guy who's so hungover, he might not be able to stand up for the whole segment. Those days were kind of fun to me there, and so I hope
– Breaking news,
I hope
sure.
local TV kind of gets back to that. I hope this is a secular thing, and then they finally say, you know what, let's channel Ralph Emery and start doing shows where we sit down and talk to each other, where it's not cannibalized by advertisers completely, just enough to make a lot of money.
I've said this, that you want to get back. I firmly believe this. In the afternoon shows, I want to see you live everywhere across town. Because when I see a live bug, I lean in like, where are they live today?
Yeah.
Be live. There's so many great community events that happen.
Yeah.
Find them.
Yeah,
everybody wants to be spoon-fed.
Right.
Right? So when I did the big joke, I had like 9 newspapers.
Yeah.
I'd read all the newspapers. I'd cut stuff out and see them. I mean, you have to get out there and work it and figure it out and say, all right, this is great. This is a good thing. But I'm telling you, when consultants came to me at Channel 4, ruined it for me.
Absolutely.
Ruined it for me.
Yeah. Well, they know more than you.
Right.
Right. Immediately. When you start a relationship with I know more than you, it's not going to end well.
Our consultant lived in Denver.
Right.
Denver.
Right.
What are you going to tell me? Do you know where Gallatin is?
Right. Right.
Do you know where Hendersonville? No, they don't know where that is.
They're like, I know where Lebanon is. Okay. I know where Lebanon
is. Go do that story over there. But
and what about Maury County? I know where Maury County is. And people don't understand how much work went into your segments, right? Because it wasn't just you show up with a microphone.
Hey, guys.
Here we go. He would spend the day on the phone. He would do the background on it. He'd cut any video that needs to be done, and he would start working. So there was a lot of work that went into the segments there that went unappreciated. But the fact is that it was gold. It was gold.
It was fun. But it would still work. I mean, you got to put everything together.
Oh,
and you'd go out and do it. That's where my voicemail came from, like the Joe Dubin, because I call it a workout facility. It's, hey, I'm Channel 2, Joe Dubin. We'll go out there and do this in the morning. And the lady's like, oh, my God, the Joe Dubin? And I was like, yeah, I'm really nothing. And then
that Dubin?
It took off from
there. I was thinking about adding the in front of my name, too, actually.
Yeah.
It's just like, what's your name? I'm the Neil.
And he put it in his Instagram page.
I did.
Chase McCabe.
Chase McCabe was
well,
and I was like,
the
I'll be
Nash
the
beauty girl right there. So
right.
There you go.
It all works out part
work,
of that.
Right?
But I think it is what you put into it. If you put heart and soul into it, you'll get back a lot of great things.
Right, right.
And that's the beauty of working in journalism. And I still at the core, and you know this, there's still some good people working hard and to get it done. I think we'll never lose that.
I hate to speak in such generalizations. I apologize.
But you're right. You know what? You're 100% correct.
There are some very bright spots in our local news community. There's no doubt about
I'm
it.
I'm with you on all that.
Yeah. So, but I started watching your little segments that you posted online, Sunday Scaries and all that stuff. And I started, and he kind of inspired me. I was like, you know, I've been off social media for so long, and I was watching that, and so I was like, I can do what Joe does. And so I kind
of
copied
you
a little bit. Yeah. And the worst mistake I made was copying you. Right?
No, not at all. Yeah, right. I'm a no one.
But it was funny because I realized I was actually afraid of social media. You know, after doing TV for 30 years and social media just horrified me. It scared the dickens out of me. So doing this was more or less to kind of make me comfortable doing.
Well, it does, and I have a mission, and it's men's mental health.
Yes,
and it's a big part of what we do on the show, and we'll talk about it. And so I just want people that they see that like, all right, he's still here. He's still showing up.
Right. Yeah.
He's still here. So maybe I need to show up as well.
And it's amazing because mine is sobriety and also men at 50 and 60 restarting, rebooting their life. So it's along the same lines.
Yes.
Those are my interests too. So when
right.
you talk about that stuff, it kind of affects me as well. Because I'm there. Next 2 months, 60 years old. So
that's crazy.
Okay.
You don't look 60.
I don't feel 60.
Will you be 60? Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
Remember growing up when you were 15, somebody, that guy's 60, you're like, oh, he's
oh,
dead.
Oh, yeah, he's done. Oh, no, that was like, he's 40.
Oh,
no. Oh, how many grandchildren do you have? Oh, man.
Well, I'm a year and a half away from turning 40, and I'm like, it's starting to kind of.
Well,
like,
I don't know about you,
think
but
about
40
it.
Was the hardest. 40, you wake up the next morning and your metabolism stopped overnight. All of a sudden, everything. Yeah, 40s.
Yeah. You're done, Chase.
You're done. No.
We're going to retire.
We're in the clear.
You're past
you
it.
And I are fine. You are about ready to hit rock bottom, my friend. And there's going to be a sleeping bag down there waiting for you.
Yeah, well, right? Bring it on. Bring it on. We'll have more with Neil Oren coming up next. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game.
Back on. Hey, everybody.
We are back on.
Hey, everybody.
Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game
what
here
kind
on
of operation
this
is this? Where, Chase, are you producing or no?
No. It's back of the stage.
I like going on a radio show where you call everyone Chase.
Right. I'm good. Surrounded by Chase.
Big Chase on the go. And
there's a Chase Bank down the
there's
street.
There's a Chase
too.
Bank,
sure
too.
Is.
Right. And I got chased here. But yeah, it's all good.
It all works up together.
Neil Oren is with us.
So I thought we were talking about sports. Isn't this sports station?
Not right now. It's not. Let me ask you this. What's the one moment in all years at Channel 2 that stands out? And I'm going to guess, and it's not a fun moment, was it the Covenant School?
The Covenant School was tough. Covenant School got really tough because halfway through it, my oldest daughter texts me when we were on the air. I was by myself, and she texts me. She's like, Dad, are you okay?
Yeah.
Right? and here's your like, because when something like that happens, all you're doing is thinking about these families. Like, oh my God, they just like, if I lost Audrey or Carly, are you kidding me? My life would be over. So she texts me in the middle of it, and all of a sudden it just hits me. And then I toss it out to Nikki, and it hits her at the exact same time. And it's so real. And I've known so many people that when we went on the air that day, I got a text from a detective friend of mine who was there. And we knew nothing. Shooting, possible shooting,
right,
at Covenant School. He texts me. He goes, this is really bad. There's a lot of people down. And I go in the newsroom. I'm like, we got to get on the air right now. Right now. And I got on the air, and I said, this is going to be a very difficult day for Nashville.
Yeah.
We know that already. The details are still coming in. I'm not going to tell you anything that isn't confirmed and reported, but this is going to be a very difficult day. And it was hard, right?
I was on the air.
The Christmas morning bombing was a tough day, right? I remember hearing the noise. It was like a concussion sound in Oak Hill. I live at Ragnar Lake, so every kind of thing kind of echoes through there. I'm like, that was not right. That was different. And I call up work, and they're like, some sort of explosion down there. I just went in.
Because you knew.
Like our dude on the Nina and the Peach in Santa Maria that morning. Right. My buddy takes a picture, a screenshot of me. He's like, are you okay? But no, and it was such a strange morning, right? Because we didn't know what the situation was.
Right.
We didn't know how many people were gone.
And there's no handbook for this to let people know.
No, there's no handbook. No. And you're basically going on instinct. It's like, I want to tell people what I know, but I want to do it in a way where I'm not, wrong. I want to do it in a way that's sensitive to any potential victims, and I want to do it in a way that actually is informative and not repetitive. And so that's the difficulty. But breaking news is what we all get in the business for, right? You're the kid in the class who wants to tell the story first, right? You're the guy growing up who, you got to hear what I so you go into the news business and sinking your teeth into a breaking story is ultimately what you crave, right? And but sometimes the stories like Covenant and the Christmas bombing are just overwhelming.
It's different.
It's just different.
The movie theater shooting.
Oh,
you did
gosh,
that one.
Yeah.
You know,
right,
like,
right. There was a few times you got drafted into real news there, right?
Yeah. I mean, when I was at four, the Antioch Theater, because they put me on the air. Nobody was in the newsroom. They said, you need to go on the air. And I knew that area of the back. I grew up over there.
Yeah.
So I knew the area of the back of my hand, where to go, what not to do. And then at that moment, you realize there's a lot of people who are watching you who are depending on what you're saying.
Right.
And so it's a whole different ballgame. But you can do it. I mean, you're on the desk for a moment, and it happens. And the December bombing, you remember 2 days later, they found a van in Wilson County, and they pulled it over.
Yeah.
Well, I was anchoring that day on the morning show.
Yeah.
And so for 4 hours it was me and Brittany Weiner going back and forth on this van.
Right.
And to keep it going. So I'm like, look.
And there are some times where there's no new information.
Zero.
You're literally looking at the same thing. There's no one to talk about it. There's no expert. It's just you sitting there going, there's that van.
There it is. Yep. And
back to you.
They're
back
looking around all that. And that's what it is. But it's not like, oh, what was me? But I have a job. You had a job. We got a job to do.
Yeah.
Well, that's it.
But I think weather stories were like the Murfreesboro, which we call the
Good Friday,
the tornadoes. And then when it's one thing being in the studio. It's one thing actually looking it on the radar and talking about this storm is going this way. That's a pretty good hook. That looks like it might be doing damage. And then the live picture comes up, and you're looking at sticks and insulation.
Yeah.
And that's when it automatically dawns on you that this is very real. Like,
like
in the news when we're excited, we got weather, great ratings coming.
In reality,
people's
right.
lives are ending as you're on the air, and it's a little overwhelming at times. And you have to, when you're on the air, you have to put that stuff aside as best you can, as you know.
Well, with Covenant, I was on the air.
Yeah.
We were doing our show. And I don't know. I don't remember if it was Twitter or where I saw this, but initially it was in the Green Hills area, and there's St. Paul is across the street, across Hillsborough Road. And so I think some people thought it was that at first.
Yeah.
That's where I went to elementary school. So when I saw that, I can't speak. My co-host is like, what's wrong? And I can't put words together because I'm thinking that it's horrible no matter what, but it's like.
Absolutely. But when there's a personal connection to it, there's nothing you can do except feel it a little bit deeper, a little bit more. Absolutely.
So then, you know, I settle down and like all the stuff's coming out. And now I'm sitting there as not only a host, but the program director going, okay,
right,
we're sports.
Yeah.
What do we do here? Like, this is, because there's no handbook.
What did you do?
I was there.
We weaved. Yep. I mean, we were giving updates.
It's kind of hard, like, you know, oh, Titans got a coaching shirt, a search going on, but oh, by the way, there's a bunch of children that are no longer with us.
Yeah.
You can't do that.
There's
no easy way to do that.
Nope. So, and you know, sometimes the listener will kind of dictate where you're going to go.
Right.
And we had people calling in going like, hey, it's been a tough day. We want to thank you guys for kind of helping us through it in a different way. So, you know, and we're referring to, you know, you guys and everything that, hey, this is where you're going to get the news.
Right.
And, but yeah, I mean, that was the bombing that day, March 20 tornadoes.
Right when I got here, the F-15 that crashed into the Antioch area.
Oh, yeah.
Right on board. The shooting that happened down in Giles County, it was one of the first school shootings in the country.
That's
there.
Right.
And so all these different things that happened. When I got back from my dad's plane crash where he passed away a week later after the funeral and services, Payne Stewart's plane was flying across the country out of control with no one doing it, and there was no one there to anchor except me.
Yeah.
Right? So personally, that was a very difficult moment for me, right? I'm thinking about someone's dad up there who's about to die, and I just lost my dad in a plane crash, too.
Yeah.
So it was there are things that happen in your personal life and professional life, and sometimes they merge a little bit too close, right?
Yeah. So that's, you know, what's funny, not funny, but that day was that Payne Stewart's agent was from Winchester, Tennessee.
Right.
So Wisdom Martin and myself had to drive down, and we interviewed the day of that guy. It was also my birthday.
Wow.
So I go down there, winter, and the guys, his family was in shock.
Yeah.
And they're telling us about all, because he was an agent for Payne Stewart, and he went to Alabama. It's those moments where, and then ABC News wanted our footage.
Yep.
And then you're thrusted in this thing. I'm like, I didn't really get in the business to do that.
Yeah.
I was a cameraman at the time. I just wanted to have a fun job in news.
Absolutely.
This wasn't fun, right?
No.
One of the very first stories I did was with you. We had to go out and do a golf, you won't remember this, a golf simulator at Legends in like October of 98. I'd been off for weeks. My daughter was born. And they came and said, hey, can you go shoot with Neil? And we had to shoot some golfing thing that was coming out. And we were out there, and you're like, I don't know what this is. Just shoot some video.
Obviously, it had a big impact on my life, right?
And I'm like, I'm with Neil. Because it was far better working with you than it was Turco. Far better. I got to tell the Turco story real quick.
My
daughter was born. Turco never talked to me, right?
Right.
You know this. He would just – I had to work with him a few times. He said, hey, man. I'm like, yeah. He's like, I heard you had a baby girl. And I said, yes, sir, I had a baby girl. He said, let me give you some advice. I'm like, oh, God. He's like, when you have a boy, you got to worry about one pecker.
Yeah.
When you got a little girl, you got to worry about all the peckers.
One of the more common sayings you hear as a girl dad,
right?
Then I go very few times without hearing that.
And I got my advice from Turco.
I mean,
he's not wrong.
He's not wrong.
Are we for off-color stories here? I remember when I first got here, Turco and I used to hang out with a friend of mine, Mitch, and we used to go to places we probably shouldn't go. They were
had good buffets.
Starts with Ken's, right?
Yeah. And
ends with Gold Club, and you know, and so we would wear disguises, right? Because I wouldn't. No one knew who I was. I was the weekend TV guy. But Turco, with his long ponytail, everyone knew him. Even like a week after he got here, so he would wear a wig and some different disguises and stuff like that.
That's pretty.
So we would go to these places, and then on the way out. You know, we just leave, but our GM Mike at the time called us up to his office, and he had a manila folder on his desk, and he's like, so you realize that you represent the station when you're out and about in public? And we're like, yeah. And he's like, so you realize where you go matters? And we're like, yeah. Are you doing anything right now that would not be good for the station? No, we're good. Yeah, we go downtown, we're at Tootsie's, we do that stuff. So he slides the manila folder out, and he opens it up, and there's picture me and Turco with Ken's Gold Club behind us, high-fiving each other.
Oh, no. How did he get that?
It was a scene reporter had been following us and started taking pictures of us.
Holy cow.
And I felt that it's one of those moments you feel the blood drain. I'm like, I always joked I wasn't going to last a week in Nashville, and I came pretty close.
Oh, my gosh.
Anyway, he said, he's not going to publish it, but I don't want you guys going there anymore.
Well, good. Turco came back one day. He'd ate at some Indian restaurant in Green Hills,
yeah.
And he thought he had food poisoning, and all he wanted to do was do a story and sue them. That's all he was concerned. He was consumed that they made him sick, and I'm going to burn him down and all that.
Better
but
call Turco.
Me and Joe Gregory used to go to a buffet in Antioch all the time. I'm not going to say what the name of the place was, but we used to do the health reports as well, right? We used to love going there and going through the buffet and all the different dishes and stuff. And then the health report came out, and they found frozen cats in the freezer of our place. Joe and I, like, are looking at each other like, turning green. We had breakfast the other day at Ellison Place Soda Shop. We were talking about that stuff.
It's terrible. Real quick, Turco got out of it because he was going to go to San Diego. Do you remember how he got out of his non-compete? He went after one of Channel 2's biggest advertisers. I think it was Phoenix Healthcare, about how they weren't delivering wheelchairs to their patients. He blistered them.
Yeah.
And they said, you can't do that. He's like, by God, I'm going to do it. Only reason I'm not going to do it, you let me out of my non-compete. And they're like, we're going to let you out of your non-compete. Yeah, right.
You're done.
That dude, I mean, I get asked about you and him more than anybody else.
Do you know what he does now, right?
He
lives in West Texas, and he builds guitars in luthier. He's a luthier.
Oh,
so
what the hell is that?
He builds music. He builds string instruments.
I wouldn't buy anything from that man.
No, his stuff is good.
Is it?
Oh, yeah. No. He does everything by hand. Every cut by hand, everything by hand, and he builds these things. Yeah, no, he's...
Wow,
yeah.
I had no idea.
Didn't see that coming.
No, I had no idea.
That's awesome. Yeah. Speaking of the health report, so when my dad owned a restaurant in Bellevue...
Dine and Dash, right?
It was called Paschetti's. But he was one of the he was like one of the high scorers of the week, and that like made his life.
Oh, yeah.
When you guys featured him, and he's like, "We're on TV!" Like it made. I mean, he was. Well, he talked about that till the day he died.
I don't want to brag or anything, but the fact is that we got the health reports offline, right? Yeah. Online, right? Yeah. We just pull them from the health department,
right?
But I would be out and about. We'd go out for dinner and stuff like that, and people thought I was actually there to write up the health report,
right?
Oh,
yeah.
And so our service was out of this world, over the top. So it's like, yeah, you're welcome there. What'd you get on the recent health inspection? 100. Great.
I remember
this bill's only $5. Wow.
That's right. I remember one time you went out and you did the Phil Collins interview.
Did the Phil? Yeah, out in California.
Yeah. Right? Was that the Tarzan?
Tarzan.
I was like, really? Because we were all excited. Like, somebody gets to go do this. And you were the guy that gets to go do that.
It was wild, actually, but it was something I would never do again.
Why not?
Right? It was just one of those things. It's like you're herded into one room. You're herded into the next room. You're told, ask this question, this question, and this question, and they're done. And that's it. And it's like, so we can't talk? Like, we can't – no, you're not even allowed to address that person before you start interviewing them.
Good
so you're basically
Lord.
Just, like, sitting down. They're on one camera. They're not even looking at you. They're looking at the camera, and you're on the other camera looking at the other camera. You're like, so tell me how this role came about. Checks notes. Make sure he stays on point right there.
Oh, man.
Yeah, so it's just not what you – it was kind of like, why do you even bother? And now they don't bother. Now they just sell you they just send stations the pre-canned interviews, and it's like, you do what you want with them.
Yep.
Everyone's learned that if I control my content, the TV stations can't make me look bad, right?
There you go.
So I control my content.
It's all about the look.
That's how they're doing it. We'll come back with more with Neil Oren coming up next here on Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. Continuing our conversation with Neil Oren.
Fellas, I made flashcards of all things happening in sports right now. We were up until 1 o'clock this morning. Carrie's been quizzing me, and she's like, this is going to come up during the show. This is going to come up. You're on a sports intense show. You better know this stuff. And we haven't mentioned one single thing.
That's good. We do that sometimes.
Yeah, I get it. But I just want to tell you that.
You were ready.
For a sports show, this is very lacking this hour.
You should listen to the other hours.
Okay, who do you think is going to be the next coach of the Titans?
Shula. I think Chris Shula is going to do it.
Really?
Yeah, I like him. I like, first of all, the name, right?
Yeah.
That's a good legacy.
I'm all about the name.
Right?
Yeah.
He's got an offensive mind, and you got a quarterback who can scramble like Mahomes and throw it like Manning. And you got a defense, which I think that, you know what, if you gave Callahan more time before he got off his game, right? If you gave him more time to work with that defense, and I think he just succumbed to the pressure of having to win right now and started going off his game plan right there. But I thought that if you have Simmons anchoring your defense and you could kind of keep that group together and work on the secondary, which has gotten markedly better, we have a quarterback that is going in, like, he's following the path of every single all-star quarterback, right? That
right.
comes in the league the first year, they find themselves. Year two is kind of like, okay, he's doing some better things. And year three, all of a sudden, you have a Super Bowl caliber quarterback doing, and he's the dude. He is dedicated to it. When you look at him, when you see this guy in person, you're like, that's impressive.
Do you,
it's like meeting Eddie George in person. You're like,
right.
I get it now.
Do you own? Do you owe Brian Callahan money because
I do.
He was a terrible coach?
I do. Well, he was because I think he didn't get a game. He didn't stick with his game plan. He got thrown off too early.
See, this is why we didn't talk sports. Really.
Okay. You know, everyone's got an opinion, and certainly mine is always wrong. So you can argue with me all you want, right? I'm a punching bag.
You're right. Yeah. But you are a big Preds fan.
I'm a huge Preds fan.
So am I.
Going next Tuesday. I still owe money from my 2017 playoff run where any ticket, any price, anywhere, I was in that arena for every single playoff game, every single Stanley Cup game, and it was still the experience that you cannot duplicate in this town.
Right. I say the draft was fantastic.
Oh, it was great. But this is different.
But the Preds playoff run in 17, when you got 250,000 people in the park a block from here – Alan Jackson and Luke Bryan, whoever else sing. I mean, it was
amazing.
Yep,
it was amazing. And then and I feel like the team's starting to get back there. I love, you know, Barry Trotz is your GM. You're going to go in the right direction.
Correct.
That's not an issue. It's just how long it's going to take to get there. And I feel like we're making some big. You know, I saw it. I did an event. It was a beanbag game. What was a cornhole?
Yeah.
I did
some call it bags.
Some beanbag thing. I did it at Giardis Park, and Roman Josi was there before the season began. And I was kind of just, you know, joking around with him. I was like, so is this a good team? He was completely honest. He goes, I really think that this is going to be a special team. You know?
Yeah.
And he's not a guy that's going to – he's just going to say, I don't know if he wasn't sure about it.
Yeah, right.
But he actually came out and said, this is – going to be a special
team. I didn't know that he sounded like Arnold Schwarzenegger, which is good.
That's my only voice I have. So everyone is either me or Arnold.
No, he sounded like Drago from Rocky IV.
Yeah,
he dies,
yeah.
He
just
dies.
Just sounded terrible, whatever.
Real quick, Mike in Las Casas says,
Mike.
Joe, ask Neil if Bob Mueller owes him any money.
So Bob Mueller came by the sports office one day and said, hey, can I borrow $1.50? I need a Diet Coke.
Is that Bob's voice right there?
Yes. And so Bob, I gave him $1.50, never paid me back. But you know what, Neil? You see that Land Cruiser out there? Paid for.
All paid for. You know, what's the interest on that $1.50? He owes you $1.75 now, doesn't he?
Probably $1.90, yeah. But that Land Cruiser, though.
Here's the thing. You know, I love Bob, and we played golf all the time together. But he would give me 12-foot putts. And it's like,
pick it up. It's good.
And you're like, no, Bob, I have to make this putt. You can't do that, right? And it's like when as soon as you say that, it ruins the whole hole. It's over. It's over.
Pick it up. It's good.
Both of you have
of
a pretty
course,
good Mueller
impression. Of course, at the end of the hole, at the end of the round, when it's a 2-foot putt, he's like,
well, I'd like to see that.
Okay, Miller.
It's great.
Hey, Bob, you owe Joe $1.50.
I remember one of the things, the sweep thing was going to be, he was going to shave his mustache during sweeps. And I'm like, who is not going to tune in for that?
Absolutely.
Right?
But
what
did he do it?
Way.
He did not do it.
He did not do it.
No.
He said no.
There is a rumor that he has no upper lip. It's out there. It's out there.
So I love seeing the early videos of Bob and everything. And
it's the same. You can't tell what year it is.
Well, I said that about
Bob and Ann.
You when you got out of the business, and I compared you, and you're going to hate this, but I compared you a lot with Dan Miller. I mean,
No, that's the ultimate compliment. Dan Miller was, to me, the consummate. When he would come on, this is the scene at 6, and when he was terrific. And this is one of the great things. You meet your hero, and he turns out to be hero. And that was Dan Miller. I met him in a church event, and he just comes up to me. And first of all, he's bigger than I thought.
Like 6'5".
Yeah. I'm like, holy what?
Oh, yeah.
What? My TV is very small. My TV is too small. And so you do this stupid thing. You're much bigger in person.
Yeah.
Right? And like, huh? But he was generous and he was nice. He had no idea who I was, even though I'd been on the air for however many years. But when we lost him, that was a sad day.
Well, I compare him to you because of the impact outside the TV station. I've seen Dan doing that. I saw you doing that. And you're beloved, man. And like Dan is and you are. And you're part of the core that, like, Chase grew up watching you and all of us. So I wrote about that when you retired. I put you in my book because that's, I think, the world of you. And
it's an honor. A lot. And it's, you saying that, it means a lot. Thank you very much. It's very mutual.
Thank you.
I'm proud of what you've done with your career and how you've, like, fought through tough times. And I think tough times.
I've been told no 1,000 times, right?
That's right. But still, you persevered. You found your own path. And that's what you got to do in life.
Thank you.
It's not just this.
Neil, thanks so much for doing this. This was fun. Yeah,
guys,
flew by.
I learned so much about sports. I'm going to tell you what.
Well, keep listening. So Herm Edwards is going to join
Chase,
us.
Chase, Joe, thank you, guys. It was an honor being here.
Appreciate you.
Neil Oren joining us. Herm Edwards will join us from ESPN. Coming up next, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game.